I need to add that the visitation for Jim Denny at the Young Funeral Home here in Rawls is from 2 to 5 today, and his funeral is tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., and I know a lot of you will want to take advantage and express your condolences by your presence. The three greatest words in the English language, what would you think that they would be? Well, I'm going to answer my own question. I think the three greatest words in the English language is love and grace and thanksgiving. You know, I'm convinced that when John said that God is love, that there's no more hardly to be said about Jesus Christ and his Father. But he didn't leave the word love just kind of an abstract hanging. Our Lord went on to define what love really is by his own life. And his death on the cross, which is a measurement of the unfathomable depth of God's love that he has for us. But if you remove love from the equation, we don't have very much left, do we? And when I was talking to Reva, the wife of Jim, yesterday in her home, she said he had gone out to get the mail that morning, and he just died immediately in the yard. And she didn't know what had happened for about 15 minutes till a neighbor came by and called her. And lo and behold, it was her husband. And they called the life squad. They came, did all that they could. But he had made his journey already to the Father's house. But as we sat in her living room and looked at his life, she said 3 days before he died, she believed that he had some sense that he didn't have many hours remaining. And she said she went into his bedroom to say goodnight to him. And he looked up at her and he said, Reva, there's one thing I want you to always remember, and that is how much I love you. And she looked down at him and she said, Jim, and that's how I feel about you. And she kissed him goodnight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, love is not something that we invented ourselves. God made us able to love and to receive love. It's not something, it's unique to us because God made us that way. But when you take love out of the equation, whether you're talking about God, your church, or other people, life just simply vanishes. So love is the greatest word if you understand what that means. And then think about grace. Those unearned gifts that we have, that we're here to be thankful for today. You know something? You didn't create the meaning and purpose in life. You don't have that ability. It's intrinsic to life just to be discovered that there is meaning and purpose. It is a gift that's there. You didn't invent the church. That's the Lord's idea. And we love our church, do we not? But it's a gift. It's a gift of grace. We did not create music, but God knows that we love music. And we did not create reason or logic, and what would life be without that? Those are all gifts. We do not create smiles or laughter or forgiveness. Those are things that are just gifts. We didn't create the cosmos, the earth that we live in. They're all gifts from a loving God. They're unearned gifts of grace simply because we appear on the scene. And God has made it so. But then we come to this word gratitude. Given the fact that there's so much grace moments in our lives and so much to be thankful for, how could we possibly not respond from deep within ourselves with a sense of gratefulness? You see, if we don't have that sense of gratefulness, we've missed the whole point. But gratitude keeps us connected to God. Keeps us connected to each other. But if you take gratitude out of a relationship with God, that relationship is going to lose its quality. If you take gratitude out of your relationship with your wife or your husband or your family, and if you don't look at them and say, I am really grateful for you, which we've heard a lot of that this morning, when we don't have a grateful attitude for graces that have come to us, something dies. Something's missing from that picture. So we have it love and grace and gratitude is our response to all of that. Well, then what would be the worst? What is the worst word in the English language then? It would be ingratitude. Because ingratitude disconnects us from God, makes it, in fact, impossible to connect with God. But gratitude keeps us connected to God, keeps us connected to each other, it keeps life flowing and being what it can be. Karl Barth said the most basic sin is just a simple fact of being ungrateful. Now, Jesus, in this wonderful story that Marcus read for us this morning about those 10 lepers and their absolute desperate and despair that they had. They knew, having leprosy, that their days were numbered. They also knew there was no hope for them. And here they positioned themselves as they knew Jesus was coming. They heard about his reputation as a healer. And so they were not able to be within 50 yards of other human beings. And so they stood beside the road and they knew that the Lord was coming. And when he came near enough, they shouted across the way as loud as they could, "Jesus, Master, Lord, have mercy on us." And I imagine they yelled that out several times. And Jesus Christ stopped. And he hears the cries of a desperate heart. And he stops and he said, he didn't say you're healed. He didn't say how much faith do you have. He said, just go show yourself to the priests. And I imagine one of those lepers, if they had a streak of cynicism in them by that time in their lives, he might have thought, boy, go show ourselves to the priest who was the only one that could declare them clean and whole and healthy. Here we are, we've got this leprosy all over us, and he's telling us to go show ourselves to the priest. Do you know the good things in life sometimes mean that we obey, that we be a part of the process. Healing and wholeness and the gifts of life sometimes don't come instantaneously. It was while they were on their way. And I can just picture in my mind these people who had lost much of the feeling in their body. One of them all of a sudden said, hey, wait a minute. I can actually feel the pebbles on the road. I've never been able to feel for years. In other words, I feel these hands. Suddenly, I have a sensation of feeling in my hands. And as they went, the leprosy was cleansed. And they were made whole. An incredible, incredible supernatural miracle. But only one made his way back to the Lord. Only one out of 10. You see, the others had not been healed in soul. They'd been healed in body, but not healed in their hearts or in their soul. And our Lord, when he came back, he said, weren't there 10? And where are the other 9? And the Lord's simply saying, there's something wrong with this picture. When you do this kind of thing, our Lord didn't have to have the stroke of being thanked. But he knew that unless they could be grateful, that they were missing the point. When you take gratitude out of it, so the Lord says, something's wrong here. But to be grateful, to profoundly be grateful, is to kind of close that loop. And it draws us near to the source of all those grace gifts of life. I believe we who have a grateful heart will express that gratitude in 4 different ways. 1, we will look up with thanksgiving. And we will look back with thanksgiving. And we'll look around with thanksgiving. And we'll look forward to tomorrow with thanksgiving. Those 4 things. You remember the story of the old rooster that he thought he was bringing in the sun by his crowing. And one day he got up late. And the sun was already up and he had a nervous breakdown. His whole reason to be alive suddenly was not there. He thought that he created the morning. And so he locked himself in the hen house and stood there and only come out for a little food and water. And the hens didn't know what to do and they didn't know how to encourage him. But one day he comes out after the sun had come up and he starts crowing that same beautiful crow. And so the hens went, well, how can you do this? You've been depressed for so long. He said, well, if I can't cause the morning to come in, I can at least celebrate its coming in and be grateful. I think, ladies and gentlemen, we look up and we are thankful. I've been watching with some interest Tim Tebow. He's the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, and he played for the University of Florida. A great, great Christian young man. Incredible physical talents and other talents. And this Bronco team, they were having a rough year. And here's this Christian young man, and he would sometimes wear John 3:16 on his forehead when he played for Florida. And finally, the fans demanded that Tim Tebow be given the opportunity to play. And the expert said, well, he's good, but he's not that good. He'll never reach that level of John Elway for sure. And so he began to play, and they've won now, I think, 4 straight games. And they just defeated the New York Jets. And they defeated him because that team together, because in the last seconds, he ran a 20-yard touchdown run. And you know what he did? After that, he fell on one knee, took his helmet off, and everyone knew that he was praying. And when he was through, he lifted a finger and he pointed it toward heaven. It's not all about Tim Tebow, but it's about pointing to the one who gave him the gifts that he has. That's a powerful witness. And I believe we who are grateful, that's the first place we point to, is the Father who has given us all that we have. And then we look back with thanksgiving. My, ladies and gentlemen, as you look back, there's so many blessings back there that I'm sure you're aware of. I remember one time when I was a second year in seminary, and with my 4 kids, and then I just didn't have enough money to pay the bills. And we didn't know what we were going to do. And so I made an appointment with the dean of the School of Theology and went in, and he was a kind-looking gentleman, and I told him my story, and he stood there, and he sat there, and he listened to me. And he didn't say, well, how could you be so thoughtless to get yourself in this place? He didn't say, you know, you better watch out and never let this happen again. He finally took out a checkbook, and he said, Grant, how much money do you need? And he wrote out a check. I said, well, how can I pay us back? He said, Grant, you'll pay it back when someone comes to you later in your life, and they need help. You pay it back by giving them help. But I never will forget his kindness. And I've been grateful for Dean Mueller every day of my life. And think about when you've stood at the crossroads of your life and you've made decisions, that then maybe you didn't have a strong sense that that was the providence of God that was with you when you made those decisions. But as you get older and you look back at those crossroads, you become aware that somehow the providence of God was there, and you were not alone there. And when you made that decision, it was the right one. You might have thought it was all up to you, but somehow God was in that moment. But later on, you realize, my, how thankful I am, Lord, that you were there. I remember as a boy 15 years old trying to swim across New River for the first time. I was always a good swimmer, and Woody, I'm going to try out this swimming club before long. And I have actually won swimming races. And my friend and I would go to this place on New River, and we would swim in it. But this was in the late spring, a lot of rain, and the river was even up in the trees. And one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life, I decided I was going to swim across that river in spite of those ferocious rapids. And so I got out there, and it was just fine until I got into those huge rapids. And brother, I began to fight with all my might, every skill that I had, every ounce of strength that I had. And I couldn't break through the rapids. And I remember thinking clearly, well, maybe, Grant, this is it. And finally, I began to just let the rapids carry me down the river and continue to do what I could, and finally broke out on the other side of the rapids, and I immediately turned over on my back and regained my strength. It took me a long time to decide to come back across that river to where we were camping. But my friends, when I look back now, I think my life could have ended there. It could have been over there. And I am so grateful that somehow, by the grace of God, I survived that. And many other crossroads in my life, as I look back now, I look back with a profound sense of gratitude. As Ann and I pulled up on the lot this morning, and we were talking about our church family here that we love, and I said, well, one of the things I'll always take away from this church with me is a profound sense of gratitude for who they are and have been to us. And so we look around with thanksgiving. Look up and look back, and then we begin to look around. And look around you this morning. Look around you this morning. I thought I would have you turn and say to each some people around you, I thank God for you. We don't have time for that. And you're probably going to be grateful for me doing it that way. But in our men's group this past Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, I can't explain to you those wonderful moments in that men's group. Some 18 of us there, we had to get extra chairs and bring them in. But as I sat there and I looked around at those men, all of a sudden in my heart, I thought, you know how profoundly, deeply I love these guys. And when you look around, whether it's it's your mate or it's a close friend, there is enormous reason to have a sense of gratitude as you look around at other people. Amen? Isn't that abundantly clear and true? And then we can look forward. We can look forward. The God who has been gracious to us in the past is going to go into our tomorrows with us. We are not alone. As we walk in gratitude and grace, God continues to pour grace upon grace into our lives. And we have more and more and more to be thankful and then in this life and the gift of eternal life in the world to come. We look forward. We sing a hymn every now and then that we call it, Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds tomorrow. And I know He holds my hand. Never underestimate the power of gratitude in your soul and in your life. It gets us connected to God, keeps us connected to other people, keeps us connected to God so His grace can continue to pour in our life. But the moment that we allow anything to dry up that sense of inward gratitude, we begin to cut off the gifts that will come to us in our lives. Now, I've deliberately chosen today, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to sing Count Your Blessings. And there's an insert in your bulletin. I want you to take that at this time. And as you sing this great hymn, just remember to count your blessings and to be grateful. Let's stand and sing.